Have you been listening to the podcast and getting value from the show? If so, I've got a small favor to ask, because over the next few months, we're going to be making some changes to better serve you. Now, I could keep creating episodes based on what I think would be most helpful, but I would much rather get this right. So instead of guessing, I want to understand where you are right now and the real challenges you, your organization, and your team are facing. That's why I've put together a very short 90-second survey. It'll help me better understand you and how I can serve you at a much higher level. And as a thank you, the first 30 people who complete it will receive a free signed copy of one of our books. To take part, just go to the show notes and click the link titled Leadership Survey. Or you can go directly to letsgrowleaders.com/podsurvey. PODSURVEY. It'll take less than 2 minutes. I really appreciate your input. It will genuinely help shape the future of the show. You care, you're passionate, but then someone tells you you're too negative. In this episode, you're going to learn what's going on and how to fix it. Welcome to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, a podcast helping human-centered leaders master communication to accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. I'm your host, David Dye, president of Let's Grow Leaders. Welcome to the show. In this episode, you're going to get three specific steps you can take to transform your smart analysis into something people welcome, not run away from. When you master these techniques, you'll have more influence at work, you'll solve many more problems before they happen, and you'll help your chances at being promoted. So let's get into it. This is about learning how to be perceived as less negative and ultimately how to be more effective at work and in your leadership. Because when your team or supervisor thinks of you as a negative person, you're less likely to be invited to conversations where you'd have valuable contributions to make. You're less likely to receive recognition for your work, and your odds of promotion go down. And if you often hear that you're too negative, learning how to be less negative, this is a critical skill to master and fast. People just don't want to be around negativity, and so it will limit you. Now, that might not feel fair. After all, if you are familiar with Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore was still invited to all the goings-on in the Hundred Acre Woods and was appreciated for his loyalty. But unless you have Winnie the Pooh and Tigger on your team, shifting that perception of negativity will help you have more influence and contribute your expertise in ways that aren't happening otherwise. The good news is that there are easy shifts you can make that don't require you to change your personality. You don't have to become a different person. And these shifts will help you bring your best qualities to every team and conversation. And as we get into this conversation, I want to acknowledge this can be hard to hear, and I get it. Don't be negative can be incredibly frustrating feedback when you don't think of yourself as negative and you're trying to be helpful. Why do I know that? Because I have been that person many times. I know because I've got that feedback in my career and relationships. What made it so frustrating is that almost every one of those circumstances, I wouldn't have told you I was being negative. Most of the time, from my perspective, I was engaging with an idea, answering questions I thought I'd been asked, or trying to prevent problems. But the reality is, Marshall Goldsmith says, is that in leadership, it doesn't matter what we said. All that matters is what they think they heard. And so you're responsible for your influence for those perceptions. So let's talk about what's going on and how to deal with it. One of the most common reasons people get a negative label is because of how they respond to ideas. So see if any of this sounds familiar to you. During a leadership meeting, your boss proposes an idea that has a shiny, attractive quality. Let's say they want to hire a contractor because it looks like it'll save money, save time, and solve a problem. You hear the idea and immediately see three critical problems. In your mind, you put it into operation, you immediately see three issues. One, the person they want to bring in doesn't have the experience with a critical function. Second, the initial cost might be lower, but managing the contractor, bringing them up to speed is going to cost more time and money, plus any extension of the contract would cost even more money than the current situation. And then third thing you see is that the function's mission critical and the contractor has no redundancy. If they get sick, the team's out of luck, or they'll have to work harder to make up the difference. So you've got these three concerns. They're all valid. They're all real. And your team needs the benefit of your analysis to make the best decision. So what do you do? Well, if you're often labeled as negative, you probably say something like, "Hey, I see a couple challenges here," and then you list them. Are you wrong? Well, you might be right, but let's assume you're 100% correct in your analysis and you care about the outcomes, the team's welfare, saving the business time and money. You're justifiably concerned about the future of the team, future of the business and the customers. You care. You're correct. And yet you're called negative. Why? The problem is that for many personality types, jumping straight to problems and challenges isn't effective. For the let's get things done crowd, the roadblocks are frustrating. They want to see action. And they get frustrated when people raise objections. For the idea people, they want to explore and build on ideas, not have their creativity and energy crushed before their ideas have a chance to breathe and be explored. And for relationship people, jumping straight to problems feels harsh and even disrespectful. Let's think about these words: roadblocks, crushed, harsh, disrespectful. What do they all have in common? They're negative. And that's how your supervisor or colleagues perceive your attempt to head off problems. And that's assuming you're always correct in your analysis, which of course you're not. There are often opportunities that we might miss to build on ideas and explore possibilities, where quick action could be the way of the day, or where building on those relationships is the most important thing. So we need to be aware of these things, because not only can you miss them in your analysis, your colleagues are definitely going to miss them, even if you're accurate. So how to be less negative? Three easy shifts you can make, because the problem isn't your analysis. The team needs your help thinking through ideas and ensuring solutions that are going to work, that you can implement together, and that they're as sound as they can be. So here are the three shifts in how you respond to ideas that will help you have more influence. First, affirm. This step will help your idea people feel heard and your relationship people feel connected. And what you want to do here is find something interesting, fun, or positive about the idea and say that first. For example, you might say, "Oh, that's a creative way of looking at things. A third party could bring a fresh perspective. Wow, that's interesting. I hadn't looked at it that way." Or, "I appreciate you thinking about how we can save money here." One time we worked with a very literal-minded engineer who had a reputation as a very negative, caustic teammate. And as he was working to first affirm, his starting effort was, "Oh, well, that's an idea." It was as much of an affirmation as he could muster through his analytic brain when he was confronted with something he saw as wrong-headed. But his team still appreciated the effort because the first words out of his mouth weren't negative. Okay, we start by affirming the idea, something positive. Next thing we're going to do, and this one's critical, present problems as solutions. You're still going to share your challenges or concerns. The team needs to hear them, and you need to get them out. It's why you're part of the team. But instead of stating them as problems, you want to package them as solutions or opportunities. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. "Hey, that's a great idea. Here are three things we can do to make sure it succeeds. First, let's ensure the contractor has experience in this technology. Then, if we can find someone at this price point without an extension penalty and who has a team to back them up, this could really work." Presenting your analysis as ways to make this work is magical. First, people's perceptions will totally shift. Your concerns don't come across as obstacles. You're contributing to the idea's success. And second, when people hear what it will take to make their idea work, they'll form their own conclusions about viability or solutions. They might propose a follow-up solution that solves the issue you were concerned about, or, and this happens frequently, you'll hear them say something like, "You know, that's a good point. I don't think this is the best idea. Let's keep looking." you didn't negate their idea. You supported it in a way that they could benefit from your analysis, reach their own conclusion, and maybe they set it aside if it genuinely has a fatal flaw. So in your responses, start by affirming the idea and then present your challenges as solutions. The third shift is really about managing yourself. And this third shift is to take your temperature. And I'll just use myself as an example here. When I'm tired, frustrated, feeling overwhelmed, have tons of problems vying for my attention, and someone presents me an idea, I am highly likely to forget steps one and two. Or I may do them, but my tone comes across as tired, whiny, or negative. Again, it's not how I want to be, but you got to know yourself. These things can happen. So when you find yourself in a conversation about ideas or where you would typically be told you're negative, pause a beat. Take your temperature. How do you feel? If you're tired, frustrated, or tied in knots with other problems, can you pause and not respond right away? And here's some language you can use to do that. Hey, I appreciate you bringing this up. And at the moment, I am exhausted, or I am trying to solve three things at once. I've got so much on my brain. I want to make sure I give your idea all of the attention that it warrants. Can we talk about this tomorrow morning? Most people will appreciate that you cared enough to be honest and valued their suggestion enough to give it a proper hearing. Sometimes they'll even say, oh, it's okay. It was just brainstorming. It can wait. Taking responsibility for your state of mind in those moments and your tone when you respond will help you avoid the times that you're most likely to come across as negative. You're not changing who you are. You're choosing to be your most effective self with others. Before we go, I want to drop here a final note about mental health. These suggestions about how to be less negative, I'm sharing them in the context of if you are feeling otherwise healthy and constructive. These are not intended to address depression or other mental health challenges. And if you find yourself in a state of negative thinking where everything seems dark or gloomy or hopeless for an extended period of time, it's been that way for many weeks, I really invite you, be kind to yourself and talk with a counselor or a mental health professional, just like you talk to your dentist for a persistent toothache. Otherwise, if you're doing good and you're getting perceived as negative, these are the shifts that will help. When you care about success and you want the best for your team, but that passion comes across as negativity, I promise you that these three shifts will help you and you'll have more influence. Your feedback will be far more effective and you're opening yourself up for those promotion opportunities because people will look at you as being supportive, not just killing everybody's ideas. They've helped me and they've helped many, many leaders that we work with to have more influence and build better ideas with their teammates. And listen, these leadership and team type conversations, they're not always easy. Whether you're talking about challenges with ideas, change at work, or any other tough work conversations. And that's why I have put together with Karen, my partner, an entire leader's guide to powerful phrases like some of those that I've given you today that you and your team can use to navigate all of these tough conversations at work. Then this guide will help you reduce stress, improve morale, productivity, and it's yours free. So go to letsgrowleaders.com/podcast and download that today. And if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of these practical communication skills to help you accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. Thanks as always to our producer and sound engineer, Brooke Bradford at Sheep and Space Digital Business Services, Laura at Brooke Marketing for their work on this episode. Until next time, I'm your host, David Dye, reminding you to be the leader you'd want your boss to be.
The UPS store is making packing and shipping Easter gifts quicker than ever this year with UPS Air. How quick? Quicker than a walk around the park. Quicker than eating all the Easter candies. Quicker than finding a golden egg that you know is stuffed with cash. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS store, your items arrive on time or your money back. Guaranteed at no extra cost. Exclusively at the UPS store U.S. retail locations. Send Easter joy on time at the UPS store. Visit theupsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.